race riots in Israel, a shaky coalition for the government. What's next? We'll cover today on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's a National Day of Prayer for America. It's also what's called Lag BaOmer, 33rd day in the counting of the Omer, the sheaf of grain that was brought in on the during the Passover holiday, and then the 50 days of counting until Shavuot, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks. What's the significance of that? Why the bonfires on this day? And what about the race riots in Israel and the coalition government of Benjamin Netanyahu? Whole lot to talk about today. I'm a little peeved about something. I'm personally a little bit peeved about attitudes of some folks, and I'm going to address that momentarily, having to do with the Muhammad cartoons. We had some great discussion about the Muhammad cartoon contest 2 days ago, and we're going to get back to it. Many of you may have wanted to get through and were unable. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. All right, let's start with Israel. And I've got dear friends that have ministered, lived in Israel now for many years, Eddie and Jackie Santoro. In fact, it was when I was ministering in their congregation, the church they were part of in upstate New York years ago. It's part of when God began to speak to them about Jewish calling and going to Israel. So they've lived there many years now. And their most recent newsletter begins by saying, tumultuous would be the word that best describes this week in Israel. A riot in Tel Aviv by Ethiopians who were protesting police violence against them. So Ethiopians, blacks in Israel, Africans. Israeli attacks in Syria against Hezbollah, who were attempting to bring advanced weapons across to Lebanon. And with just one day to go until the deadline is reached for Prime Minister Netanyahu to form his government, the coalition seems to be coming undone instead of coalescing. All right. As for the Netanyahu coalition, he has put together a government coalition just hours before the deadline. Initially, I was told, I saw reports online that within hours of his party securing as many seats as they did, Likud party, in the elections, that he was going to be able to put together a coalition and already had it basically done. I even shared that because I'd seen it announced. And then, well, no, he's still working on it. And then as of a day ago, Bayit Yehudi, a key party, said they weren't going to be part of his government. And, of course, he's had to rely on the ultra-Orthodox parties to be part of his government, which a lot of others are not happy with. And last-minute agreement for Bayit Yehudi to be part of it. How stable it will be is a good question. How stable and long-lasting the government will be. In other words, if it's so factious, then you could have to call for new elections if the coalition can't stand together. So just because Netanyahu's party got the most seats does not mean that all is smooth sailing. So those who prayed for the elections, keep praying. As for the race riots, and it appears some of the violence may have been started not by the Ethiopians, but by their sympathizers, they have been brought over to Israel in 1984, 1991. Over 20,000 Ethiopian Jews came from Ethiopia, Sudan. This is the promised land, the homeland, and under very difficult living conditions where they were. They made it to Israel. It's a time of great national rejoicing, a great effort for Israel to do it. They're now over 125,000 in Israel, but often reports of discrimination against them, mistreatment, very, very high rates of poverty. And an Ethiopian soldier was beat up by other soldiers for no apparent reason. It was captured on video. That provoked riots, protests. Is there discrimination and bias in Israel? Yeah, there definitely is some. Needs to be addressed. Absolutely needs to be addressed. Israel is far from perfect. Never said it was. We'll be right back.
want, for fire we
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Roman Catholics don't like when their religion is mocked, but no one talks about provoking them. Christians don't like it. Jews don't like it. But this is what it takes to live in a pluralistic society. You have the right to offend and be offended.
That was the voice of Pam Geller on Hannity, and she was opposite him, opposite Hannity and Pam Geller, a radical Islamic cleric, Anjem, how do you pronounce the last name? Chudari, is it a C-H, Chu, or her? Anyway, Chudari, sorry, I always think of it as Anjem, the first name. And Hannity speaks with him directly. Hannity challenges him directly so that everyone on Fox watching knows exactly who he is. We're talking about the Muhammad cartoon contest. I've got some very strong things to say about that in a moment. You can weigh in by calling 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But let's first listen to this interaction, Sean Hannity and this radical Islamic cleric. Start with clip number one.
Do you support this death threat against Pam Geller because she ran a free speech contest drawing cartoons of your prophet?
Let's be absolutely clear. We're not talking about Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck. You're talking about people who deliberately had a competition to insult the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
She's asking people to attack. You support the death penalty for Pam Geller,
security on the day.
Who doesn't is not Muslim. You support the death penalty because she had a cartoon contest.
All right, he's making it very clear where this radical Muslim cleric is coming from. Clip number two, Hannity pushes a little further.
You want her to die.
You know what? She should be put before a Sharia court and tried. And
she's not
guilty,
a Muslim.
Of course she will face capital punishment.
She's not a Muslim, Anjum. She's not a Muslim. She doesn't believe
she
what you believe.
That before
you
she
don't
had
believe
this
in liberty and freedom,
you know,
and
you
freedom
need to
of
learn
speech.
The
you want to oppress her over
Theo
a cartoon.
Van Gogh and Salman Rushdie and Hirsi Ali. You cannot continue to go down this road and expect the Muslims to stand back.
All right, so he's saying you better believe you got this coming to you, Muslim or not. You insult our prophet and you deserve the death penalty. One more clip, number three.
You know, I would retaliate if someone insulted my own mother, let alone the prophet, who I adhere and, you know, I love 100 times
so
more than my
family. So if anybody says anything
Come
against
on, your
prophet
said that
you
he would
don't
attack
like,
someone if someone attacked his
so
mother,
if you don't,
what about
if,
the prophet?
If somebody says something about your prophet that you don't like, you want them dead.
Any prophet.
Your prophet.
You know, if they said that about Jesus or Moses or Abraham or the prophet Muhammad, right. Sallallahu
alaihi
wasallam,
I didn't hear anybody.
It's
well,
the same
wait,
difference.
Wait a minute. Because there was a crucifix submerged in urine, and I didn't hear you or any other Muslim say that this person ought to get the death penalty.
Good point, Sean Hannity. You know, where was the outrage when Jesus was insulted and blasphemed? But here's what's bothering me. Here's what's bothering me. In my article, came out last night, dealing with my take on the Muhammad cartoon contest, I say these things. I say people like Pamela Geller, who sponsored the contest, Robert Spencer, Geert Wilders, they feel it's essential that we look Islam in the eye and say, we will not be intimidated. We will not be silenced by your rules, your beliefs, your threats. And if you tell us to be quiet, we'll only shout louder. That's their philosophy. And I appreciate that philosophy and mindset. And this cartoon contest was specifically in response to the Charlie Hebdo massacre because of the satirist portrayals of Muhammad in their satirical magazine. Pam Geller, after there was an attempt, there were shots fired and police killed these two Islamic terrorists outside of the cartoon contest. Pam Geller wrote, "Here's what the enemies of freedom sought to crush last night, truth and freedom, but they went up against the wrong kuffar, meaning unbeliever. They were crushed instead." She said, "This shows the need for such conferences. The jihad is raging." I said this, it takes tremendous courage to take these stands. I said, I commend her, along with others, including Spencer, Wilders, and others, for refusing to bow to intimidation, fear. And I said, and I'm quite sympathetic to that because I live every day of my life like that, refusing to bow down to pressure, refusing to bow down to intimidation, refusing to bow down to fear. Every day of my life, I live like that for years. On a regular basis, I embrace this attitude. We have gotten in trouble posting things on Facebook about radical Islam. I speak often against radical Islam to expose it. And I say that it is a valid expression of Islam, although not the only expression of Islam. And I've had folks like Robert Spencer and Waleed Shubat and Bridget Gabriel and others on my radio show to give them a platform to say what's on their heart. And in the article, I say again, I appreciate the sentiment and I applaud the courage it took to enter the competition. And I said this, I defend Pam Geller's right to hold the contest and I commend her courage and boldness. But as a Christian witness, as a follower of Jesus, as one wanting to make him known to all people, I will not needlessly provoke someone else, okay? It's one thing to expose error. It's one thing for me to say, this is wrong, this is a false teaching, Muhammad is a false prophet, Islam is a false religion. I'll say that freely. Yes, that's terribly offensive to Muslims. Of course it is. But I am simply speaking the truth in doing it. I am not unnecessarily provoking something to hold to my freedoms. Now, do others have the right to do it? Of course, and I defend that right. Absolutely. Is it completely outrageous and mad that Muslims think they have the right to kill someone, even with outside of their faith, who insults their prophet? Of course. Absolutely. Would Muslims like to do that in America? Those that practice Sharia law? Sure, they'd like it imposed on everybody. Absolutely. Should we stand against the encroachment of Sharia law? Absolutely. But as a Christian witness, I'm not going to do something that I know is going to needlessly provoke a Muslim person, because the vast majority of Muslims are not saying, kill everyone who differs with us or kill those who draw a cartoon of Muhammad. And you say, well, you don't know Muslims. Well, maybe I know more than you do. I wonder how many Muslim friends, neighbors you've had over the years. But here, I tweeted this out a couple days ago. I'm all for exposing radical Islam and for expressing my differences with Islam as a whole, but I'm not for intentionally insulting Muslims. So someone posted in response, that's what we call cowardice. If you're unable to confront worshipers of false gods, you are compromising the gospel. What bunk? It's not cowardice. It's got nothing to do with cowardice. Friends, don't talk to me about cowardice. You can accuse me of all kinds of things. You can criticize me for all kinds of things, but you are not going to criticize me for cowardice. I'm looking at this comment to my article yesterday. I support Pamela Geller 100%. I don't give a darn what a coward such as Dr. Brown thinks. Hey, buddy, don't talk to me about cowardice unless you've risked your lives for the gospel more than I have. Unless you've been mocked and ridiculed for the gospel more than I have. And unless you've had meetings where you're not allowed to have the meetings unless you have police protection. And despite the police protection, you walk out to the crowd to talk to people. Don't talk to me about cowardice. Don't talk to me, buddy, about cowardice when all I'm talking about is being wise as witnesses. By all means, stand up for our freedoms. But there's another issue, which is, are we unnecessarily driving Muslims away from the gospel if we do these kind of things? Would my friend Dr. James White be able to go to a mosque and debate Muslims, and he's maybe the only non-Muslim or one of the only non-Muslims in the whole mosque, and he's going to debate these issues? Would they let him in there if he had just entered a contest to paint a mocking cartoon of Muhammad? Well, did he write a book exposing errors of Islam? Of course he did. He's going to expose error. But there's a way to do it that's constructive. Here, look, every day that I deal with gay and lesbian issues, I know I'm offending gays and lesbians. I know I'm getting people upset with me. I know they're looking at me as hateful or bigoted, whatever. I'm still going to do what I do. I'm going to do it with compassion. But I'm not going to call them names so as to insult them, some derogatory name, and use that so as to insult them and to demean them. I mean, this is just mind-boggling stuff. The students who sat under us for years are so infused with a spirit of courage that they've taken on as a school model for years by life or by death. I had a guest here with me yesterday talking to one of our second-year students, a young lady, and I asked her, where do you want to go for your internship to serve for 3 months in your third year? Because our third year is half internship and half classes. What did she say? Iraq! Right in the midst of one of the most dangerous places in the world. That's the spirit of our students. They get that from the Lord. They get that from my example and the example of other leaders. That's what we live with day and night. You could differ with me. You could say, no, Mike, I think it's more important that we put the emphasis on freedoms here. Absolutely. I think it's more important we put the emphasis on freedoms, and that's what we stand for here in America. So that's what I want to stress. And I know the witness is important, but we've got to make a strong statement that we're not going to be intimidated. I feel it's more important. Great. Go for it. I respect that. I honor that. But don't call it cowardice when you say let's not needlessly provoke. Didn't Paul say that he didn't put any stumbling block in front of anyone? Didn't Paul talk about becoming like those you want to reach out to a Jew, becoming like a Jew, to a Gentile, becoming like a Gentile, in terms of just general lifestyle, so as to reach out to present Jesus? Let the cross and the truth of the gospel be the stumbling block. Don't talk to me about cowardice. I've been overseas when I was told, don't preach on this, it could be dangerous. And I preached on it because God spoke to me to do it. And our lives were threatened, the stage taken over by Hindu radicals by the end of the night. Don't talk to me about cowardice, buddy. Be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to give you another opportunity to weigh in because many of you were unable to get through when we addressed this on Tuesday, and then we'll move on to some other subjects. Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. thanks for that. Call and that info, Johnny. Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is about the courage issue, you might as well tell me I don't have a mustache. You might as well tell me that I'm too quiet and I don't talk. I mean, to what bothers me is not that people are idiotic enough to accuse me of cowardice. I mean, it's just as a stupid, idiotic accusation. I get accused of stuff day and night, mocked day and night, maligned day and night. I smile at it. In fact, I have a file where if I spot stuff, I throw it just for encouragement, because the more junk that comes my way for the gospel, the more encouraged I am. And it reminds me of how much other people need Jesus. If you listen to me for years, you know that to be true. What bothers me is not that they're attacking me for cowardice. Again, that's completely idiotic. Let them say, well, if you're a real man, you'd grow a mustache. I mean, it's that idiotic. If you've never seen a picture of me, check it out. The mustache is quite conspicuous and has been for many, many years. What bothers me is that people don't have the ability to process this. Yeah, I understand that Muhammad himself committed atrocities. I understand that. I've talked about it many a time. We have posted graphics on Facebook about radical Islam and with citations from the Quran. And I've said for discussion, is this an accurate application of the Quran or not? Let Muslims weigh in. We do that all the time. And we've gotten so many complaints sometimes that our page was wrongfully shut down and Facebook apologized and reactivated it, said it shouldn't have happened. I don't mind the controversy for speaking truth and getting the message out. But if I feel it is a needless provocation of Muslims. Here, look. This is what really struck me. When there are depictions of Jesus like this P blank SS Christ quote, work of art that won an award, an endowment from the National Endowment of Arts. Sick. Yeah, sick, sick, sick. It was Jesus on a crucifix submerged in a jar of urine. And it won a competition sponsored by the National Endowment of Arts. So the question is, how do Christians feel about it? Well, did we go around killing people? No, we're not going to do that. Obviously. But how did we feel about it? Did we like it? Did we appreciate it? Did we say this is, of course, the guy had the right to do it. But the fact it won a competition from a government-sponsored organization, that was outrageous. But just as believers, how do we feel about? How do we feel towards the ones who do those things? So why should we do that to Muslims? When Muslims say our Bible is not accurate, yeah, that's what their faith believes, and they're dead wrong. I'll tell them the Quran's not accurate. I'll tell Mormons the Book of Mormon's not from God. At the same time, I'm not going to do something silly that I knew would offend a Mormon that had nothing constructive to do in it. What's so difficult to understand about that? I mean, look, didn't Paul say, as much as it lies with you, live peaceably with all men? You say, yeah, well, Elijah mocked the false prophets. All right, well, call down fire. Go ahead and call down fire. And was that always what was done in preaching the gospel? Sometimes they did mock the false prophets. Absolutely. Sometimes they did, and they were exposing idolatry, but mainly to their own people who were idol worshipers, they were exposing the folly of it. But is that the normal style, to use Elijah's method of evangelism and call down fire and then kill the enemy? If that's how you want to evangelize, go for it. But it's not biblical. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll start in Falls River, Massachusetts. Michael, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi there. Enjoying your program. I don't get a chance to listen to it all that often. And that's a very deep subject, of course, that you're willing to wade into. We appreciate that very much. Obviously, when you come to freedom of speech, it's a very broad and deep section. We should not be offending people in the sense of trying to wound their Christian faith or wound their ability to see Christ. But is there any kind of cartoon that would be okay to use in your mind to sort of make a point? Or is it off limits completely using a cartoon, using Allah as one of the prescriptions over it?
Well, in Islam, Allah has no form. It's depicting Muhammad, you know, so you're not even going to think about depicting Allah. That would be completely off limits. But Muhammad has been depicted at different times in Islamic history, and there have been bans on doing it, and, you know, different groups have different views on it. Listen, let the people do what they want to do. I appreciate the standing up for freedom. I understand the message. I understand it. When people try to silence you, you shout louder. That's how I live my life. I understand that. But if I'm also thinking about wanting to be a gospel witness, then what is the wisest way to do that? And what's an unnecessary provocation? So for religious Muslims, any depiction of Muhammad is going to be deemed offensive. So if I could avoid that and bring the gospel to them, I would. Now, if I had to make a statement that you're not going to muzzle me, then sure, I'll make a statement. And that's what Pam Geller was doing. And Pam Geller's Jewish. She's not a follower of Jesus. So I understand her perspective. And I defend her right to do what she does, and I applaud her courage. I'm just saying, as followers of Jesus, I wouldn't do it because I want to practice the same principle of I wouldn't want to needlessly offend someone's religion any more than I'd want them to needlessly offend mine. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, quick reminder, then I'm going to go back to the phones. This week's offer is a thoroughly Jewish Thursday offer for sure. Let the Lion Roar. Compelling docudrama with well-known actors and actresses in it as well. Derek Frank takes you through church history, some shocking anti-Semitism in church history, why understanding the role of Israel is so important. You get the DVD, the Blu-ray disc, two CDs chock full of great interviews we did on the Line of Fire with some of the key people from the docudrama, plus a book, and it's beautifully packaged, all of it, and only $30 postage paid for the whole package. So order today, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see a video on the homepage. You can find out more by going there. All right, let's go to Nancy in Manhattan. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I fully agree with your point, and the Lord gave me that example of Paul when he went to Athens. He didn't stand in front of the Athenians and tell them that Apollo and Zeus and all were horrible. What he did was he presented to them Christ, and he said, you know, I know you're religious. I'm presenting to you the unknown God. I see nothing wrong with taking a wise tack with people like that, because you're right. You're cutting them off from the gospel if you say things that are going to insult them deliberately.
Yeah, and again, the average Muslim here in America is not going around beheading people and is grieved over these atrocities as well. So it's not a matter of backing down. I'm not going to back down. I don't understand how to follow Jesus and back down at the same time. I've literally lost everything because I refused to compromise in the past. So what's the big deal? People losing their heads for the gospel. What's the big deal about losing things in this world for the gospel? It's not a matter of backing down. It's not a matter of compromise. It's a matter of wisdom. It's a matter of following gospel principles. So Paul said, hey, look, I see you're very religious. And he said, you know, there's ignorance here. Turn away from the idols. I'm going to tell you who the unknown God really is. We'll be right back.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, look, I appreciate the sentiments of another caller who just gave comments offline. Glory would like to say that Pamela Geller is not killing Muslims like the Muslims are killing Christians. Yes. Yes, I understand. So what does that have to do then with Christians willingly, knowingly offending Muslims with no constructive gospel witness in it? Yeah, it's for free speech. I understand it is a free speech statement. I understand it is a pushback against the Charlie Hebdo massacre. I understand that. I defend Pamela Geller's right to do it, and I applaud her courage in doing it. She knows this brings a death sentence on her for doing it. I understand that. I applaud her courage. And by God's grace, I stand courageously where he tells me to stand. I'm simply saying, here's a principle, and this is what I wrote in my article. Just as I would not want Muslims to have intentionally provoked the ire of Christians by attacking their beliefs, I would not do the same to them. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So look at, you want to have an idiotic comment. To Dr. Brown, every Christian should be saying, get you behind me, Satan, in precisely the same way Jesus rebuked Peter, no excuses. Oh, so Jesus intentionally insulted Peter so as to provoke him. No, he rebuked him, and he rebuked Satan who was speaking through him, and I'll do the same with Islam or other false religions. What's that got to do with intentionally mocking somebody's faith in a non-constructive, non-gospel way? Someone tell me the connection, please. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Rockville, Maryland. Sarah, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I fully support you. In your take, and I've done it on Facebook, I think this is childish games. And I happen to, if you might remember, there was a man who was a Russian specialist that mentioned Putin, that if someone says something against Putin, well, they just disappear. This man got shot in Maryland, and he fully thought it was because of his statement. You know, why play these games? It's ridiculous. It's not adult. And all the things you said, I support them completely. I'm really a little disappointed in the people that played this game.
Yeah, and listen, and Sarah, appreciate that. Thanks so much. And friends, remember, you can join in on social media, weigh in on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, or on Twitter, Dr. That's D-R Michael L. Brown on Twitter. You can weigh in there. Look, I understand if a government says you can't speak against us, well, then you're going to speak against them. If people speak against Putin and disappear, well, then his critics are going to speak against him. I understand that. And I just don't feel here in America that we are being threatened. In other words, that our freedoms are being threatened or restricted. I understand that there are newspapers that won't print. Okay, here's the cartoon that won the competition, and they won't print it because they don't want to offend, and they could be kowtowing to Islamic sensibilities, etc. But look, if somebody put out some Holocaust-denying movie here in America, it would be banned. You say, well, there's a difference. The Holocaust did happen. I understand that. But in other words, you recognize Jewish sensitivities. And I offend Jewish people constantly by saying Jesus is the only way to God. I offend Jewish people constantly by saying without him, you're lost and your sins are upon you. I offend Jewish people constantly by saying the foundation of your faith, that you believe there is an oral tradition going back to Moses on Mount Sinai, is not true. And I do it in the most constructive, respectful way I know how. I don't mock the rabbis and say things to intentionally provoke. That's foolish. So again, Pam Geller was not thinking in these terms because she's not looking as a Christian witness. She's looking as a Jew and saying no one's going to restrict our freedoms here. Push back. Amen. I understand that. But for us as followers of Jesus, there can be another route, a better route to take. And for people to mistake that for cowardice is ignorance, immaturity, and worse.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Roman Catholics don't like when their religion is mocked, but no one talks about provoking them. Christians don't like it. Jews don't like it. But this is what it takes to live in a pluralistic society. You have the right to offend and be offended.
Yeah, so that's Pam Geller on Sean Hannity. She's absolutely right. Free society, you have the right to offend and be offended. But if you're seeking to be a gospel witness, which is not Pam Geller's motivation or MO, when you are seeking to be a gospel witness, you ask, is this going to offend unnecessarily? If the truth offends, so be it. What did Paul write? 2 Corinthians 6:3. I just tweeted this out. We give no opportunity for stumbling to anyone so that the ministry will not be blamed. So as much as it lies on me, I want to follow that pattern. Understanding the gospel itself will be offensive. Understanding that there are things that I will say differing with other faiths and religion that will offend them. Speaking the truth in love will offend. So be it. Let me make sure it's truthful. Let me make sure it's in love. But there is also being offensive, unnecessarily offensive. And that is what I take issue with. And to equate that with cowardice, again, is what disappoints me is the shallowness of some people responding. I don't mean any callers, at least thus far. And if there is shallowness, I'll hope to expose it politely. But the shallowness of people responding on social media. Yeah, well, they're trying to kill us. Oh, so now you're going to go out and offend them? That's the solution? That's the best solution? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Edison, New Jersey. Tony, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I haven't called for a while. I don't hear your show as much as I used to. I just have some comments. Like I said, I was in the military for a long time, and a lot of it was spent, you know, more than half of it was spent in the Middle East. Mm. And I believe, like you, that it really didn't do any good to insult them, even though that was, she's not trying to proselyte. But I believe that they do need to know the truth because they themselves are not allowed to question it. But that is a death sentence. So it needs to be out there, in like you said, in a polite way to show what they're really following. So like through satellite, they can see this and hopefully change and be saved and go to heaven because God loves them. Jesus loves them. And I just was proselytizing a Muslim last Sunday, and I had given him a Gospel of John. There was three there. Two of them wouldn't take it. The one guy did, and I said, hey, it's closing time. And the one guy said, I know, real soon. And I said, yeah, but you have to be on the right side of eternity. And the one who took the Gospel of John, I said, God, Jesus loves you, and you are in bondage. But I said it politely and explained what I thought the bondage was, which was
right.
You feel you got to sacrifice your life and your children to Allah? You know, we don't, yeah,
and Tony, think of this, that you said this, and you could tell them plainly that the Quran is not God's word and Muhammad is not a true prophet and that they have wrong beliefs about Jesus. You can tell them that plainly. But if you have some silly Muhammad picture on your T-shirt at the same time, they're not going to hear a word you say. So let the truth offend. By all means, look, we have a graphic going up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And thanks for the call, Tony. We have a graphic going up 4 o'clock this afternoon on our Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page. And it's very strong about radical Islam. It's raising questions about radical Islam and exposing the depravity of it in a constructive way, as opposed to just doing something to provoke ire. Or to say, hey, we're free to do this. I'm not posting this on Facebook because I'm free to. I'm posting it on Facebook to get a message out. But still, we're circumspect. We think about it because we know that certain things will drive people away. But let me say something else. Listen. Grads from our ministry school are serving right now in some of the most dangerous places in the world where their lives are literally threatened by radical Muslims. Okay? I can't say more because it's that serious. It's that dangerous. Some of them have been in these settings for years. And at least one has been killed by radical Muslims. They're not participating. They are risking their lives. The people posting their stupid comments online and unbalanced, unchristian comments online, they're not risking anything. Oh, they're bold. Oh, yeah, bold. You've got to be really bold to post on Facebook. You've got to be really bold to post on social media. Oh, yeah, that takes boldness. Come on. I'm talking about people who are literally risking their lives and have seen colleagues killed and have seen other friends killed for the gospel by radical Muslims. The real life deal, okay? I'm talking about people who are now widows because their husbands were killed. And they're fearlessly standing up for the truth, standing up for the gospel, but they are not drawing cartoons of Muhammad so as to offend their Muslim friends and neighbors. They're there as Christian witnesses risking their lives for the gospel. That's what you call courage. Maybe they could speak to this situation. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Christian in Crownford, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. My comment this afternoon is simply the Muslim guy who was responding to Pamela's cartoon, I think this guy was responding out of frustration. Frustration in the sense that I believe some of these radical Muslims, they're trying to proselytize the whole world, and America being number one, to convert America to Muslim. And so when this is not happening at their fast expected speed, so this frustration is really seeping out all of them. I'm sure he's not alone, experiencing this kind of frustration. So it is out of anger that America is not being proselytized at the fast speed that they expect it to be. That's my comment.
Yeah, listen, you could have an insight there, Christian. Thank you for weighing in with it. For sure, let me say this, though. He's angry and he's militant all the time based on his faith and based on his outlook on the world. And he's quite plain in terms of what he wants to see happen in England and other countries. Yeah, but perhaps he is frustrated within America, and that's underlying things. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Cambridge, Massachusetts. Lester, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. When you look at what the Bible says, my people die for lack of knowledge, right? Those people over there are dying for lack of knowledge. They're being told something that's not true. They're believing a lie, and the religion's being multiplied because of lies. Dr. Brown, if you and a few scholars and theologians got together and had the 20 posted 20 things wrong with Islam, the 20 things that are wrong with Islam, like Martin Luther did to the Catholic Church. 20 things, then eventually the spread of that religion will eventually, the light will be shown, and even they will have to change. They will have their own reformation to change. But until that happens, that religion's going to keep growing. They're going to keep on threatening you. They're going to keep on bullying us. And when you speak up, that's why they got police. That's why they got governments, and they're trying to infiltrate everything, every area that they can. Because the Antichrist, he hasn't been revealed yet. But thank you, Dr. Brown.
Yep, thanks for weighing in. Hey, Lester, let me just say that there are plenty of websites, absolutely plenty of websites listing the errors of Islam, contradictions in the Quran, life of Muhammad and evil things that he was involved with, whole books written on that. The question is getting that out. But generally speaking, thank you, Lester. Generally speaking, those who minister to Muslims say that it's good to have that information, but that's not the best thing to put up front just because they won't hear. There are other ways to get them to hear. So we want to wisely win people to the Lord, speaking the truth, but with wisdom and love. Let's go to Etafe in Clinton, Connecticut. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hi. My question is kind of a little bit off topic, but it has to do with something I saw on Facebook. It's more, someone sent me a site about anti-Zionist Jews. And I was totally baffled because I didn't even know they existed.
Oh, yeah. There are some very, very militant anti-Zionist Jews. When the modern state of Israel was founded, there were many, many rabbis who hotly, strongly opposed it in the early days of Zionism with Theodor Herzl. They said this is atheists and communists who want to found this, and it's the Messiah who's going to regather Israel. So if you do it on your own, you're going to hinder the coming of the Messiah. It's going to be a godless nation. And on top of that, it's going to spark anti-Semitism around the world. And in that respect, some of their predictions came true. But, yeah, they remain to this day. Ultra-Orthodox Jews, some of them live in Israel, some in New York. They are normally really despised by other Jews because they often are give the idea of aiding and abetting the enemy in that respect. Yeah, but they exist. And then you have secular Jews who don't care that much about Israel. But religious Jews are anti-Zionist, absolutely. Nitzarei Karta, best known group.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, in this last segment now, changing subjects, we go to Dayton, Ohio. Yehuda, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I wanted to explore with you how we are able to determine whether or not a prophecy refers exclusively to the individual of the Messiah, Son of David, who you would understand as Jesus, and he as a Jew would understand as somebody else. So, first of all, I want to see if we can establish some common ground concerning this. You would agree with me, of course, that the Messiah will be a descendant of King David who will rule at the end of days, correct?
Yeah, that's part of the description, but not entire.
Right.
Right.
I think we both agree that prophecies like Hosea 3:5, which speaks of a Davidic king ruling at the end of days, and Jeremiah 30:9, which says virtually the same thing, and Ezekiel 37:22,
where
David
agreed.
Should be king of it. Right.
Agreed.
So we have a common thread as to the idea that the Messiah would be a Davidic king. Now, ironically, would you also agree with me that the Hebrew word Mashiach is never used to exclusively refer to the Messiah, Son of David, other than your interpretation of the word Mashiach mentioned in Daniel 9?
Yeah, in terms of exclusive, I mean, the rabbinic commentators recognize, for example, in Psalm 2 that the Mashiach, anointed one there, could refer to David and the Messiah.
Right.
And that, yeah, it's debatable in Daniel 9. Daniel 9 could be an exclusive reference to Mashiach as individual Messiah there, or it could just be referring to another anointed one or two anointed ones. That can be debated, but many interpreters do recognize it as the Messiah. So, yeah,
right.
aside from that, in an exclusive way, yeah, I'd agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what is your standard, essentially, for determining whether or not, because we came to an agreement, obviously, concerning those three prophecies, and they had the common thread of David and King. But when we look at Daniel 9, for example, we don't see any reference to David regarding this. For example, in Daniel 6.
Well, first thing, finding references to David, you're not going to find in many other messianic passages. You find a reference to Jesse, not David, in Isaiah 11. You don't find any reference to David
but
in Isaiah 2. Yeah, so very simply, simple answer, as I've written and laid out extensively, is the Messiah is like David, a priestly king. So I'm looking for, and I have explicit prophecy later, for example, Zechariah 6 and Psalm 110, making it very clear that David and the Messiah will be a priestly king. And therefore, I'm now looking for things that speak of the Messiah's priestly mission. And if I don't see things that speak of his priestly mission, then I'm missing something very, very important about his mission.
Zechariah 6, to my understanding, refers to, in the immediate context, it says the branch. So the person building the temple would be Zerubbabel in the immediate context, but it can be extrapolated to refer to the Messiah, Son of David, when he builds the third temple.
But not so. The Tzemach, the branch, that's a name for the Messiah in Jeremiah 23, one of the passages that we agree on as being messianic.
Right.
So it's clearly a messianic title. It's also used in Joshua 3. But in Zechariah, the sixth chapter, it's specifically spoken not of Zerubbabel, but of the high priest, Yehoshua or Yeshua. And he's the one who sits on the throne and has a crown or crowns put on his head. So here he is, a priest sitting on a throne.
Right, but did Zerubbabel not build the temple? Because it says he shall be the temple. So who else could it be referring to in the immediate context? Because
right. In point of fact, the one who sits on the throne and who is a sign of the branch is not Zerubbabel. That's not what the Hebrew says. It is the high priest, Yehoshua. He is the sign. Now, in fact, he combines in himself the two roles, that of the Davidic king and that of the Melchizedek priest, or the Aaronic priest.
Listen.
The Hebrew is quite explicit. And I'm not going to get an extended argument here on the air with folks that won't be able to follow what we're saying. All right, quite plainly, okay? Here, take silver and gold, verse 11, and I'm reading it in English for the sake of listeners. Take silver and gold, make crowns, and place them on the head of Yehoshua, son of Yehoshadak, the high priest. You are to tell him, this is what the Lord of hosts says, here is a man whose name is Branch. He will branch out from his place and build the Lord's temple. Yes, he will build the Lord's temple. He will be clothed in splendor and will sit on his throne and rule. There will also be a priest on his throne, and there will be peaceful counsel between the two of them. If you want to say that it's Zerubbabel who builds the throne and Yehoshua is the sign of the priest and the king coming together, that's perfectly fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever, but the crowns are put on the head of the high priest. And the high priest is the one that is now spoken over. So if you want to say it's Zerubbabel and Yehoshua Farmer, there's only one Messiah. So here's another indication, and Psalm 110 is quite explicit, and other examples from the life of David explicit, that he is a priestly king. So I must find, and you know in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they were waiting for an Aaronic Messiah as well as a Davidic Messiah. And in first century Jewish literature, they were waiting for an Aaronic Messiah as well as a Davidic Messiah. They were wrong. There were not two Messiahs, but one who is a priestly king. So I am looking for passages that speak of his important priestly work, and I find it explicit in Daniel 9. I find it explicit in Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53 and other passages. And that's why they've been recognized as messianic over the centuries, not just by Christians, but by Jews as well. So that's how we work it out. And as you know, in fact, I'm pretty sure I even handed to you myself a copy of one of my books that, if you're the same person I'm thinking of, at a debate at Ohio State University, gave you a free copy of one of them that further lays these things out. And I'm pretty sure you've heard my teaching on it. But listen, I've got a break coming up. You refute what I'm saying. You come up with a clear and definite refutation dealing with the Hebrew, that the Messiah is not a priestly king, that Yehoshua is not a sign of this priestly king, and combining the ministry of Zerubbabel and Yehoshua, the descendant of David, and the priest. Great. You come up with a clear refutation, I'll give you a hearing. Until then, flailing doesn't help the cause. Doesn't help the cause, especially when we can give you clear evidence that the Messiah was to be a priestly king. But thank you for the call. Friends, that's one of the biggest issues, that the lost sheep of the house of Israel have lost sight of the priestly work of the Messiah, and that's why they fail to see his atoning work. That's why they fail to recognize the need for him to die for our sins and to wipe away sin by functioning as the atoning power of the death of the righteous. And Jewish teaching indicates that the Messiah is the one who did it. Go to the website, friends, AskDrBrown.org. If you appreciate what we're doing, one great way to stand with us, if you become a torchbearer this week, a monthly supporter, I'll give you for free, our ministry will give you for free, the entire Let the Lion Roar kit, the Blu-ray disc, the DVD, the book, the two CDs of the interviews, a value of, I don't know, $40 plus. We'll give you that as you become a torchbearer this month. Give us a call this week, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or order online at AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, I will absolutely defend people's rights to speak freely and be offensive, but I will not unnecessarily offend. Race riots in Israel, a shaky coalition for the government. What's next? We'll cover today on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, all of our financial problems are solved. All of the things we pray for funding for the ministry and to expand the work here, they're all solved. I just got an email just during the one-minute break here from this first hour going into the second hour. I just got an email from Dr. Lucas Wilmon, operations regional manager at Santander Bank in London. And this is just good news. There's a business proposal. And they've discovered they've got, about $35 million in an account that's been left behind. And they want to work out a deal where they get 50% of it and I get 40% of it. Isn't that sweet? Yeah, junk mail. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. We had a very lively first hour. And I bet we're going to have a very lively second hour. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay. I constantly encourage believers to stand with Israel. I constantly encourage you to support Israel, to pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not at the expense of others, not at the expense of Palestinians or the expense of others, but believing clearly by Scripture that God regathered the Jewish people to the land, that Satan wants to wipe the Jewish people out and oppose the modern state of Israel, that God has ordained there to be a Jewish Jerusalem to which the Messiah returns, and that Israel is the greatest democracy in the Middle East and the best champion of human rights in the Middle East. At the same time, I recognize Israel's flaws. I am not, never have, not painting now, never have painted a perfect picture of Israel, as if the Jewish people are not guilty of wrong attitudes. Look, the great majority of the nation is not religious at all. The very religious hotly, militantly oppose the message of Jesus Yeshua. And Israel has all kinds of problems and does not always treat their neighbors in the best way. I've never denied any of that. So when you hear about what happened in Israel, an Ethiopian soldier who got beat up by other soldiers, apparently just because he was African, because he was black, and Ethiopians saying that they are subject to police violence there, and Israel is not all Caucasian, they're Middle Eastern, but is light-skinned or lighter-skinned as opposed to darker-skinned, you could say, for the most part, although a little darker skin than your average American, there are issues there. It is known that the refugees that have been brought in from Africa, or in particular the not the refugees fleeing there where Israel's had to deal with a problem they didn't ask for, but the Ethiopian Jews that they brought in and others from Sudan that they brought in, they've suffered a lot of hardship there. And yes, there is some discrimination, and it's an issue that needs to be addressed. And that's why many Israelis stood with them and joined the protest, standing with the Ethiopians, because they don't like to see them treated like this. Does that mean we shouldn't support Israel? No. All the same, we speak the truth to our friends, and we urge them to step higher and to demonstrate an ethic that is in harmony with the values of the state of Israel and for the Jewish people that hold to Torah in harmony with Torah law. By all means, if you're eager to welcome them to your country and go through extraordinary effort to bring them to Israel, well, then make them more welcome while they're there. But that's not going to stop my stance of standing with Israel, supporting Israel, believing in Israel. Why would it? I simply recognize their flaws and issues that need to be addressed. If you overly exalt Israel, you'll be disappointed. If you recognize, hey, flawed people like everywhere else, but called by God and chosen by God with a destiny, you'll get it right. 866-34-TRUTH. Got a lot of ground to cover today. Stay with us right here on The Line of Fire.
Change the world.
This is Dr. Michael Brown, host of The Line of Fire. If you haven't been to AskDrBrown.org, what are you waiting for? There are hundreds of free audios, videos, articles to help equip you. And while you're there, check out the benefits of becoming a torchbearer, a monthly supporter of The Line of Fire. This week, we're giving all new torchbearers Let the Lion Roar, our special offer for the week. DVD, CD, CDs of interviews, and a book, more than a $40 value, all yours as you partner with us as a torchbearer. Together, we're making a difference.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, I got to share this with you. This is a classic. I mean, I get these a lot, but this was a classic. Michael Brown, welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. In a moment, I'm going to put out a topic for conversation. But before we do that, this was posted on our YouTube channel in response to one of my lectures on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. This is a fellow named Pinchas, obviously Orthodox Jew. After, I don't know how much of the video he watched, but this is what he posted. Another greedy, clueless preacher feeding on the ignorant and preying on the people of Israel. Truth is, there has never been one success among the Christians when debating knowledgeable Jews. I'm smiling, of course. One would have to ignore hundreds of laws directly from the Torah to get anyone to believe one half-baked allusion from their testament. Just as one can easily write hundreds of books proving the Holocaust never happened, one can write hundreds of books to distort every truth of the Torah. The path is always open to those that want to delude themselves and throw off their spiritual responsibilities in this world. This man is a fool and a charlatan who has nothing better to do than to bring a Jew, any Jew, down to his level of spiritual insecurity and unholy darkness. Hey, just remember to pray for Pinchas when it comes to mind, that God would open his heart, grant him a spirit of repentance to follow the truth. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call if you've got a Jewish-related question or comment. It is on the calendar here in America. May 7th is National Day of Prayer. According to PewResearch.org, this was enacted in 1952 by the Congress and President Harry Truman. It's also similar to the addition of Under God to the Pledge of Allegiance in 1954, which came during the Cold War and was seen as a way of contrasting the more religious United States with the officially atheistic Soviet Union. I was not aware of that, by the way. I was not aware of that. National Day of Prayer, partly enacted for that reason. Freedom for Religion Foundation unsuccessfully challenged the National Day of Prayer in court. For many Americans, every day is a day of prayer. More than half, 55% of Americans, said they pray every day. Wow. USA Today Gallup poll 2010 asked Americans specifically about the National Day of Prayer. A majority, 57%, said they favored it. Only 5% said they opposed it. Significant share said it didn't matter to them either way. So anyway, National Day of Prayer, but on the Jewish calendar, this is Lag BaOmer. Lag is composed of the Hebrew letters Lamed and Gimel. Lamed stands for 30 numerically, Gimel for 3. So this is the 33rd day in the counting of the Omer, which goes back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So Leviticus 23, you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Shabbat, after the Sabbath, from the day when you bring the Omer, the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths. They shall be complete until the day after the 7th Sabbath. You shall count 50 days. So that takes you then from Passover to Pentecost, from Pesach to Shavuot. And this period is known counting of the Omer. Omer was a specific unit of measure referred to a sheaf of the offering. And there's a debate as to when the counting started. Was it the day after the Sabbath, meaning the second day of Passover, because the first day was a holy convocation called the Sabbath? Or did it mean a Sunday, the first Sabbath that you have during Passover? Let's say Passover started on a Thursday, and then you have Sabbath, Saturday, and now Sunday. And that's the way one group of Jews practice it. That's how most Messianic Jews do, so that this celebration would coincide, the beginning of it, with the Messiah's resurrection from the dead and the bringing in of the first fruits. But the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer, Lag BaOmer, is celebrated with bonfires. They were all over the city of Jerusalem. And it's in commemoration of a second century rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who allegedly received mystical revelations and received them with like burning fire. And according to Jewish tradition, was responsible for the teaching that's called the Zohar, which is the heart and soul of Kabbalah in Jewish mysticism. In point of fact, Zohar as we have it was probably written about 1,100 years later in 13th century. But obviously there's some mystical teaching that goes back to Shimon Bar Yochai. And the time of his death is celebrated on the 33rd day. So Lag BaOmer, I figured I'd tell you because it is thoroughly Jewish, Thursday, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let me play a couple clips for you, and then I'm going to get Joey, do you still have clips 14 and 15, maybe from yesterday or the day before? If you still have them, let me know. But I want to focus on some issues having to do with Islam and with threats here in America and how we should respond. What's a good response in terms of freedoms of speech? What's a good response in terms of Christian witness? What's a good response in terms of telling radical Islam, we're not going to bow down here in America? What's a good response to do it as a follower of Jesus at the same time? I want to talk to you about that. And of course, with the shooting here in the States last weekend, when the Muhammad cartoon contest ended with two radical Muslim Americans. I watched the grandmother of one of them talking about how absolutely shocked she was. She never knew her son or grandson to be that radical. Yeah, the ISIS clips, Joey. Never knew him to be that radical in any way, and now he's involved with a shooting. And so they shoot at an unarmed security guard, but they're police that are there, and they shoot the two men dead. So, of course, you know, many Americans are saying, yeah, there's a difference here in America. We shoot back. You come after us, our police are armed, you're gonna die. And, you know, the Muslims like, hey, you watch, we're going to bring it on. This is on our soil. And, of course, no surprise whatsoever. So let's go to clip number 14. As ISIS is claiming, they're in the U.S. and they are ready to attack, quote, any target they desire.
An online warning now says the attack by the Islamic State in America is only the beginning. And it goes on to say, ISIS has stationed 71 trained soldiers in 15 different states, ready at our word to attack any target we desire. Of the 15 states, five we will name: Virginia, Maryland, Illinois, California, and Michigan.
All right, so they're making their threats very clear. And obviously the American spirit is not on my turf, buddy. You make those threats, you're coming down, and we are going to stand up to you all the more. I appreciate that spirit, and it's very much the American spirit. It's not going to bow down, and you threaten our freedoms, we're going to come after you. I mean, and sometimes it can be very militaristic, and sometimes it's necessary, especially when there's attack, that you need to respond with the sword. The government bears the sword not in vain. People come into your territory to try to kill you. You take them out. That's righteous to do that. That's the punishment for their violence. Clip number 15, a little bit more.
What we do know is we know that there are extremists around the globe, including some who are affiliated with ISIL, who are trying to capitalize on the opportunity that's presented by social media to try to communicate with individuals around the world, including inside the United States.
Yeah, and that the voice of Press Secretary Josh Earnest. So Pamela Geller is a fearless voice against radical Islam, a Jewish woman. So she's not doing this from the perspective of being a follower of Jesus, but a Jewish woman. And she is fearless and sponsored a Muhammad cartoon contest, certainly knowing that this is going to lead to death threats against her, obviously having to beef up her personal security team because of it. I understand this. I appreciate the boldness and the courage. The point that I've been discussing, and we'll get into in the next segment, is my question about the right way to respond as followers of Jesus. That's been my bigger issue. In fact, let me get in one clip real quick. Joey, let's grab clip number 5. This is Pamela Geller on, wrong clip there. No time for the other clip. Hang on. When we come back, we'll go to clip number 8, Joey. You can have that ready. We'll come back to that and we'll hear some Pamela Geller as well. We'll hear from Robert Spencer as to the rationale behind this contest. And then what bothers me is not people saying, hey, it's a good thing to do. Even for Christians, it's a good thing. What bothers me is those who don't understand that you may have a different perspective. This has nothing to do with cowardice. We'll take it up. Stay right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My conference saved lives because I understand the threat, and we had enormous protection, and the Garland police were superb. But those jihadists drove 1,000 miles for this conference. Would they have hit a mall? Would they have hit a coffee shop like in Australia?
Or kids?
That's the voice of Pam Geller on Sean Hannity. And she's saying by having this conference, it drew out these radical Muslims and then they were killed by police. So she's saying they actually saved lives. 866-34-TRUTH. And then Robert Spencer, who's been a guest on the Line of Fire broadcast a couple of times at least, and whose website, jihadwatch.org, we check on a regular basis and often post links from there in our social media. And I often retweet his links on social media as well on Twitter. So we absolutely support what he's doing in exposing and confronting radical Islam. Robert Spencer is speaking. This is clip number 8. This is at the Muhammad Cartoon Contest, sponsored by Pamela Geller.
The murderers of the Charlie Hebdo cartoonists had an accomplice, and as they were murdering the cartoonists, the accomplice went to a kosher supermarket in Paris and murdered 4 Jews. What had they done? They didn't draw Muhammad. How did they offend Muslims? They offended Muslims by being Jewish. Okay, so we have to not draw Muhammad, because that'll poke them in the eye and offend them. And then we have to not be Jewish, because that will poke them in the eye and offend them. And then what? Okay, I guess pork and alcohol are right out. Okay, and then what? Take the humor, yes, yes, and the Islamic State. The Islamic State is beheading people and taking sex slaves and subjugating the Christians under the hegemony of the Islamic law, and they're doing it all on the basis of Quranic directives, and so that's all Islamic. So I guess we can't say a word about that, because that would poke them in the eye and offend Muslims. And you see, step by step by step, we're ending up going in the direction of accepting Islamic law.
All right, now here's, with all respect to Robert Spencer, where I would differ with him and with Pamela Geller here. To repeat, I absolutely defend their right to have this cartoon contest. Absolutely defend their right to have and hold the contest. And I understand they're saying you're going to shut down Charlie Hebdo with a massacre or try to do that. You're going to try to intimidate free speech around the world with a massacre, we're going to shout louder. I applaud the attitude that says when you try to silence us, we shout louder. And in addition to that, I applaud the courage of Pam Geller and Robert Spencer. And I applaud what they're exposing in the process. But here's where I differ. As a Jew, I am a Jew. All right. Let's say I was an Orthodox Jew. So I'm going to have certain identifiable marks on me that I'm an Orthodox Jew. I'm going to have the fringes, the ritual fringes that'll be visible hanging out from my shirt and the top of my pants. I'm going to be wearing a head covering. I might have a beard. Well, that's according to my faith as an Orthodox Jew, if I was an Orthodox Jew. That's just being me. If that offends someone, so be it. But that's just being me. When we preach Jesus is the only way to salvation, we are just being ourselves. and being true to our faith and preaching that. But if I know that there's a particular way that I could preach that will be more offensive than others, I will seek to be less offensive in my manner so as to present the offense of the cross plainly and simply. My issue with the Muhammad Cartoon Contest, again, is not them having it, but and it's not their perspective to be seeking to win people to Jesus. That's not the perspective of Robert Spencer or Pamela Geller. My perspective as one who wants to share the gospel with Muslims is to say, I will absolutely expose radical Islam and I won't be silenced for it. And there have been those who've tried to silence us doing that. Even on social media, there have been attempts to silence us in that regard. And people who say someone like me should die. I mean, there's nothing. It's just words being spoken. There's no death threat on me. It's just words being spoken. But the point is this. The point is this. If I'm speaking the truth of the gospel, that I'm saying Muhammad is a false prophet and the Quran is not the word of God, I'm explaining that in Islam, out of the 99 titles of Allah, Father is not one of them, and pointing to these lacks, that is constructive. That is constructive gospel truth. That is demolishing what's false and presenting what's true. To draw a cartoon of Muhammad, there's no purpose in that for me. There's no purpose in it for me. All I'm doing is tweaking a sensitivity in it. Now, you may differ with me. That's fine. But don't do what some others have done in some of the most stupid posts I've ever seen in my life and accuse me of cowardice. You get the wrong person. If you want to accuse someone of cowardice, I'm not that person. What disturbs me is not that I'm accused of cowardice, because that's the most idiotic thing you could accuse me of, okay? What disturbs me is that some people don't have the sense to differentiate between a different approach and cowardice. And they're going to go on with their rants, and some of them aren't risking anything. Go live in my shoes for a month, for a year, buddy. Go live in the shoes of some of our grads around the world for a month, for a year, and then come back and talk about cowardice. Big, bold posting on social media. Come on now. Let's be realistic. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Calgary, Alberta. Nick, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Michael Brown. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm great, man. I'm charged. I'm doing well.
I know. You sound like you're pretty fired up. I actually interacted with you a bit on Twitter yesterday regarding the same thing, so I'm glad you're talking about it. And first of all, I clarified even at the time that I'm a huge fan of yours. I very rarely take issue with anything that you say. I pretty much nod in approval of everything that you do, and I'm standing with you fully. And I did take issue with your article, and I probably was in part because I had just finished watching I don't know how many interviews with, you know, Pamela Geller on liberal news outlets where they were disparaging her for making her seem like the guilty party for exercising free speech. And then it kind of came across like you were more on their side than her side. And I would never call you a coward. I admire the stances that you've taken. And I guess for me, it was because I think that you have taken the stance that you've had, especially with, in the subjects of gay activism and stuff, and how much vitriol and threats and anger you get. I didn't expect you to be someone to say we shouldn't say what might offend people, because the people that, the gay activists, they get to choose what offends them, just like the Muslims do. And sometimes it can be something that, like as simple as not converting to Islam.
Right. So here's the thing. And I appreciate all the kind words, Nick. And I appreciate the fact that you follow me to this degree and felt free to differ. I mean, that's terrific. That's what I would hope people would feel. But the two points I want to make real quick, and maybe we can talk on the other side of the break, are these. Number one, to the extent you put me in the side of the liberal press or liberal media, that's how you read my article wrong. If you go back and read it, it's the radical, fearless me writing it, not going to back down from anybody or anything. Then it's going to sound different to you. But the second point is this. I do not intentionally tweak and offend LGBT community. For example, the F word, F-A-G-G-O-T. Why would I use that? Why would I use it? I only use the queer word, a queer thing happened to America, because it's mainstream and gay terminology. I'm not going to use a term or an expression to intentionally offend someone. But if the truth offends, so be it. I'll speak the truth.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Talking a little bit more on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday about the Muhammad Cartoon Contest. So in my article, if you haven't read it yet, just go to Ask Dr. Brown. We've got to post it, right, Matt? AskDrBrown.org. Just look for latest article there. I repeatedly say it takes tremendous courage to do what Pam Geller did. I commend her, along with her colleagues, for refusing to bow to intimidation and fear. I'm quite sympathetic to the mindset that refuses to capitulate to unjust demands that will not surrender essential freedoms. On a regular basis, I embrace this attitude with radical Islam, too. There are folks that try to silence us with our posts and comments about radical Islam. I've retweeted tweets from Pam Geller and often do with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch. In my article, I say, I appreciate the sentiment. I applaud the courage. I defend her right to hold the contest. I commend her courage and boldness. But personally, I believe it's an unnecessary provocation of Muslims, because most Muslims in America and worldwide, because this does spread, most Muslims in America and worldwide are not radical and are not wanting to behead you. So I'm looking at our larger gospel witness, which was not the issue for Pam Geller, which I say. I said she's Jewish and this was not her issue. But my point would be if I don't find it nice, good, right, when other groups, atheists, God mockers, paint profane images of Jesus and have profane pages on Facebook that are, you know, absolutely despicably unclean images of Jesus and mocking things and so on. I don't appreciate that. I would rather they're not there. Well, they have, if there's Facebook's going to let them be there, then fine. Just let other things be there. That's your policy. Fine. But that being said, I'm not going to go out of my way to unnecessarily provoke and something that's not essential. My philosophy is going to be not to put any stumbling block before someone for ministry. So back to Nick in Calgary, Alberta. That's the only thing that I'm finding hard to understand, why people can't make that distinction. To say Muhammad is a false prophet is part of what we believe in terms of the gospel. The Quran is not the word of God. We say that. But if you're trying to win a Muslim, you don't normally start there because you won't be able to get through to them. You try to use wisdom in the approach. And if I know that something that has nothing to do with the gospel is just kind of saying, we're not going to bow down to radical Islam, fine, go ahead and do that. But for me as a gospel witness, that wouldn't be something I'd participate in.
Yeah, and I get that, and I get your point. And I agree with you. I probably wouldn't choose to do things that way. But I guess my defense of them much, of Pamela and Robert Spencer is like I said before, if it's the Muslims or it may be the gay activists who get to determine what's offensive, you yourself have shared the truth of homosexuality in a very gracious way. And it doesn't matter what kind of tone of voice you use or what kind of language you use. You are offending them and they want you silenced.
But here's what you're missing. Mm-hmm. I hear from others who say it was my tone and grace that led them to the Lord, that led them out of homosexuality, that brought a transformation, that when they heard the truth spoken with grace. So the ones you're going to offend are going to be offended anyway, but there are plenty of others that won't be offended. And by the way, in my article, I defend Geller's right to hold the contest, and I commend her courage and boldness. So I don't know what more I can say that, but I personally differ.
I know, I guess Pamela Geller has posted emails from former Muslims who have been helped by her work in reporting on radical Islam, even though most Muslims, or a lot of Muslims, would say that her work is very offensive. But she has helped people as well. So, I mean, if it's going to be just a pragmatic thing of helping people, I mean, she could probably use that defense too. I know that you defended her right, and now that I hear you saying that, you know, kind of like, regardless of whatever, she has the right to put, because that's
she has the right, and I applaud her courage for doing it. It's just something I wouldn't do. And the idiotic post, not yours, but idiotic post saying it's cowardice, that exposes ignorance. All right, great dialogue, you man. God bless.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
מן השעות והשניות והקולות באוזניות מן הכוכב על המגדל ומן הרוח לצידו והחבר שעל ידו אשר
That music can mean only one thing. Yes, yes, it is. Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Hey, let me say this last thing about offending people. 866-34-TRUTH. Jesus is a stumbling block, correct? You preach Jesus to Jew, to Gentile, he is a stumbling block. However, Paul said that he put no stumbling block before people so that the ministry would not be defamed. Meaning there's the stumbling block of the cross, and there could be the stumbling block of our personality or our approach. So if, for example, I knew that in a particular place, if I mention, hey, we've got a resource table with some books you can get after the service, that they would be utterly scandalized because there can be no selling of a product in a religious service. And if you had anything out there, they'd be utterly scandalized. Well, then you don't set up the resource table. That's okay. You preach the message and tell people another way to get the materials if you want to get them to them. If I knew that in a particular culture that wearing of blue was considered to be terribly offensive, well, then I would not wear blue if I could avoid it. Now, if blue was important for my faith and I'd be compromising my faith not to wear blue, well, then I'd wear it. But if it's non-essential, then whatever I could do to remove a stumbling block from someone, I will do it. And also our demeanor, our approach should be one of graciousness, even while exposing error at the same time. You say, but you can't let people determine what's offensive to them. Well, am I going to determine what's offensive for someone else? Are you going to determine what's offensive for me? What would godly conduct require? A fellow named Jeff posted this response on my article last night. As a Messianic Jew, I think of the Muslims I personally met, ESL, so English as Second Language students, I've tutored, people who work with me at the kibbutz where I was a volunteer in Israel. Kind people of goodwill who were personally nice and helpful to me. Remember, they're Muslims. And I imagine how unnecessarily rude, insulting, and a bad witness it would be for me to defiantly draw Muhammad or burn a Quran in front of them. If we're going to offend Muslims or anyone, let it be over prayerfully and lovingly presented gospel truths they need to hear so as to be saved and not over insulting, but ultimately meaningless gestures. That's my position the very same way. So listen. You want to talk about boldness? You want to talk about boldness? You want to talk about courage? Talk to those who are serving the Lord in the Middle East. Colleagues of mine, friends of mine, grads from our ministry school, and others. Talk to Christians who are living out their faith in the Middle East, who will not bow down to radical Islam, who will die before they compromise, and who have died rather than compromise, and who even know living where they live that they're risking their lives. They're the bold ones. Ask them if they are having Muhammad cartoon contests. Their way of standing up to radical Islam is saying, we're following Jesus, period. And we're going to preach Jesus, and we're not going to back down. That's their way of being bold and courageous. Again, I absolutely defend the right of Americans or others to draw cartoons, even if they're offensive, to draw cartoons of Jesus or Moses or Muhammad, however offensive they may be. That's a freedom we have. And it's utterly deplorable to think that people are going to be threatened or hurt for doing that. Absolutely, utterly deplorable. At the same time, just as I would not want someone, I don't celebrate it when someone demeans Jesus or mocks the Lord. They have the right to, but I don't celebrate that. Well, I'm not going to needlessly mock someone else's faith. If the presentation of truth they take as mockery, let it be. If my holding to my faith they take as mockery, let it be. If the fact that they don't like tall people, they don't like people with a mustache, or they don't like Jews, they don't like Jews who believe in Jesus, well, then it's your problem. Because I'm not going to stop being tall. I'm not going to stop being a Jewish follower of Jesus. And the mustache is pretty much here to stay. There's just different categories. Different categories. And again, you just have to look at two different areas of concern. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to John in Salt Lake City, Utah. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. I've become quite a regular listener to you. I've switched from my political shows to your show, and I'm a committed, believing Mormon, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I think you do a terrific job. So I really support the things that you're trying to do and your influence and battle in the culture.
Well, thanks, John. I appreciate that. So who did I win you away from? Who were your previous radio guys? Because there were a few on around the same time as me.
Yeah. There's one of my favorite shows was on the same time as you were. It's interesting, and he's Jewish, but
could be Dennis.
Michael Medved. But I can catch 2 hours of him, and I can listen. We only get an hour of you out here.
Right. Good. So you get the best of both worlds. Michael's a brilliant radio host.
A real supporter. But I was reading my family history, and my great-great-grandfather assisted Orson Hyde when he was sent in the early days of the church to dedicate the land of Israel to the return of the Jews. I don't know if you're familiar with his prayer.
Nope, not at all.
Basically, he climbed the Mount of Olives in 1841, and this was from assignment from the church leadership, and dedicated the land of Israel to the return of the Jews and Jerusalem to be its capital.
Browser open to Orson Hyde here. And listen, did you catch James White's show last week talking about Mormonism?
Did.
Okay, good,
I
good.
Did.
So keep listening. And, glad to have you as a listener.
I will. I think that I appreciate your knowledge of Scripture, and I do learn things from you. But
good. I appreciate that.
My question was, well, it's had the influence of because of that is the Mormons are very pro Israel, and you mentioned a lot of anti Israel sentiment on colleges. You won't find any of that on LDS schools like at BYU. Are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm listening.
Oh,
I'm just listening. Nothing on our end. Yes, so there's no BDS, which is boycott, divestment, and sanctions. No BDS at BYU. I'm just looking at Orson Hyde's 1841 mission to the Holy Land. Hey, listen. If you there is right in Jerusalem a major Mormon structure there as well. And there was controversy over that. But listen, John, keep listening. I very much appreciate your openness. Keep listening to the word, and glad to know you stand with Israel. And yes, somehow I was not aware of Orson Hyde, so I am now aware and glad to talk to a descendant of Orson Hyde. May God continue to bless you and bring you into the fullness of his truth. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to... Okay, this is a question from Diju in Raleigh, North Carolina, but obviously we lost Diju. If you bless Israel, will you be blessed? Well, is Genesis 12, and it's repeated a few times in Scripture, is this applicable to modern Israel, where God tells Abram that he will bless those who bless his seed, and those who treat it despitefully, he will curse? Does that apply to the Jewish people worldwide and the modern state of Israel to this day? I believe it does. I absolutely believe it does. I don't believe it's just talking about the spiritual remnant, but the physical descendants, not because of their righteousness, but because of God's promise. And it's just like if my kid misbehaves, but you punch my kid, it's not going to go well for you. And if my kid misbehaves and you help my kid see the error of his ways, then I'm going to appreciate that. So in other words, even if my kid is not doing right or doing well, your response will get a certain response from me. So it is because God has chosen the seed of Abraham, the descendant of Abraham, to be a blessing to the entire world. Yes, through the Messiah, but the promises remain to the Jewish people. Hence, as they were scattered around the world, read it in Jeremiah 30 and 31, God said, I'm going to discipline the nations that discipline you. So Israel was disciplined in part, but the nations were destroyed. So yes, I believe it. I believe we should pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, pray for modern Israel, pray for Jerusalem, stand with them in a humanitarian way, with financial support and humanitarian works. You want to do that, go to Together for Israel, togetherforisrael.org, great way to do it. And reach out, support outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel as we do. I believe God will bless you as you do that.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I heard the roar. It was the roar of the Lord who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
The voice of Derek Frank. Have you watched the video excerpts that we have of the Let the Lion Roar DVD? If not, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown. As soon as you have a minute, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you'll see the resource offer. Click on that, all right? And that'll you'll go right to a video. And on that video, it'll take you right into this compelling docudrama. You know what shocked me is that so many Christians who've gotten this and watched this had no clue about anti-Semitism in church history. Had no clue about some of the horrific things that were said by some of the most famous church leaders. They had no clue about it. I thought this about everybody knew about it, but maybe not the full extent of it, because this is stuff as you know, Jewish believer, you either know growing up or soon after coming to the faith. It was the latter for me. After coming to the faith, a rabbi gave me a book about anti-Semitism in church history. It's shocking. But I kind of, well, that's church history. We can just go back to the Bible in my church and kind of skipped over it. But that's unrealistic. There is history, and you have to say what happened in that history. But the way it's done in this docudrama has been really impacting, and it's stirred up controversy and criticism. It's gotten discussion going as well. So make sure you take advantage of this special offer. It's just this week. You can get the DVD, the Blu-ray disc of it as well, so you can watch in HD, the book, and then two CD interviews we did, postage paid. It's, I don't know, probably $45 value or more with postage, just $30 postage paid. Or if you become a torchbearer, if you become one of our monthly supporters, and again, a shout out of appreciation to all of our torchbearers who help us with at least a dollar a day, so $30 or more per month. We bless you every week. Every month we send you a new message. I was over in Singapore, preached a message, and thought, boy, that's a different message than I've ever preached. I want to get that out to our torchbearers back in the States, and we do that. I spoke at another church on Understanding Radical Islam. We got that CD out to our folks, our torchbearers. Every month get a letter, personal letter from me where I update what's happening in the ministry and often share behind-the-scenes development. And then if you order from our bookstore, you get a 15% discount. So it's a great way to partner together. But this week, if you sign up to become a torchbearer, we will send you free the entire Let the Lion Roar package. You can order it for $30 or get it for free when you become a torchbearer. Call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, to order. Or to become a torchbearer, and we'll bless you this week as you do. I'm looking at a news report from Daily Mail from the UK, Pam Geller arguing with a British-based radical imam, Anjem. I keep forgetting to look this up and get his pronunciation of his last name right, Chudari or Hudari. But here's what's interesting. It was on Hannity last night. We played a number of clips over these couple of hours. But here's how it's set up. Extreme anti-Islam activist Pamela Geller argued with British-based Anjem Hudari during Fox News' Hannity on Wednesday night. So she is the extreme anti-Islam activist, and he's British-based. That's the description. He's the guy saying she should be put to death. They refer to him as the controversial imam. They do say that. But to bill it like this, extreme anti-Islamist activist, Pamela Geller, argued with. So she argued with, here's a guy saying she should die for sponsoring a Muhammad cartoon contest. Even though she's not a Muslim, he's going to impose Sharia law on her. Even though America is not an Islamic country in Sharia law, she should die. She's arguing with him, and he's just the British-based Anjem Khoudari. Amazing. Random, but since we're talking about some crazy stuff here, somebody named Morpheus, or using that title, posted this on our YouTube page, responding to someone else. This wasn't directed to me, but it was responding to someone else. We still pulled it because of the personal insult. You are actually a fool, aren't you? You ask, who will warn the world? It is Louis Farrakhan who is warning the world, is it not? You are a white man worshiper. You had better stop eating that pork, okay, fool. Where did that come from? Gotta be kidding me. So we pulled that one. And then this fellow who called me a greedy, clueless preacher, a fool and a charlatan who has nothing better to do than bring a Jew, any Jew, down to his level of spiritual insecurity and unholy darkness, and made the silly comment that there's never been any success with a follower of Jesus debating knowledgeable Jews. Is that why we distribute all the videos of all my debates? Is that why? Because we failed so miserably in them, and the truth is so much against us, and we've been unable to open up the eyes of any Jewish people to the gospel. Is that why we distribute all of them? Could it be perhaps because we're on the side of truth? But anyway, I happen to spot that one myself, and I posted a note and said, hey, listen, we're going to have to pull the comment because we don't allow personal insult. But we left a response up, well, like 8 hours or something, hopefully he'd see it, saying, your comments will soon be removed because they violate our guidelines. We don't allow personal attacks. But I've had many public debates with rabbis, and we gladly distribute them freely because we're on the side of truth. Since you make such strong claims and speak such false lashon hara is evil speech, then by all means, let's debate the issues publicly in front of a frum, meaning religious Jewish crowd. Are you willing, sir? Perhaps you're the one walking in darkness. Let's pray for Jewish eyes to be opened to the Messiah. Let's pray that Jesus would be highly exalted. Let's pray that hearts and minds would be turned among Jews and Gentiles as well. And if you haven't visited our Jewish outreach website, The Real Messiah, go there, realmessiah.com. realmessiah.com. And while you're there, look at the resources, tons of videos, articles, all meant to reach Jewish people with the good news of Jesus Yeshua. And encourage Jewish friends to visit. If you know any Jewish friends, encourage them to visit, to watch. And by God's grace, God will use this to win many Jewish people to the Lord. And consider supporting us. We're doing unique work. We're equipping many in the body, getting ready to go to Israel in about 6 weeks for a couple of days, a few days of intensive ministry, including just set up a seminar that'll be a multi-congregational seminar talking about responding to the rabbis and answering Jewish objections to Yeshua right in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. So pray for us. We're on the front lines, and with your help, with your support, we're making a great difference in America, around the world, and among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, to stand with us, go to askdrbrown.org. Click on donate if you become a torchbearer this week. Again, we're giving you the entire Let the Lion Roar resource package, $45 value, as our thank you gift as you become a torchbearer. My bottom line today, God is at work among the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but it's critical that we have more laborers, that we have more funding, and that we have more wineskins to make disciples.